Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. It's a common trope, isn't it? The search for identity. To find out who you are. We see it in Star Wars, in Luke Skywalker and Rey, in countless other movies, The Princess Diaries, The Matrix, and more. One of my favorite book series growing up was by Lloyd Alexander, The Chronicles of Prydain. And a key element of the books was the search by the protagonist, Taren, to discover who he was. In fact, one whole book of the series was focused on that journey. Now, while it might be perhaps a bit overused in literature and entertainment, the search for identity is essential to who we are, isn't it? How much time do we spend in our lives, especially early in life, trying to figure out our identity? Our parents and older siblings begin that process for us. They give us models of what it means to be human as we watch them live with other people, interact with us. And as we grow older, other adults become those models as well. Teachers, coaches, friends of our parents, pastors, other family members. They tell us who we are. Middleswarth, Novak, Wenicke, boy, girl. They tell us we're strong, brave, gifted, curious, artistic. And as we grow, we begin to have other influences on our understanding of who we are, our identity. Media. Especially our particular youth culture that we grew up in begin to shape us. We dress, act, speak like those who we see as popular or who we admire. We take identities on and off like clothes, trying on first one and then another to see what fits. In my day and age, it was goth, nerd, jock, gamer. I remember a time in my preteen years when I tried to find my stride. If you were a guy, you had to have a stride. Some of us will spend the rest of our lives without ever really settling on that identity, on who we are. Or we'll settle on an identity that others give us, ones that ultimately are not life-giving. I read about a pastor who shared at a retreat the name for himself he had heard since childhood, not good enough. For others, it is things like fat, worthless, lazy, stupid. But all of these are wrong, and what's more important, all of them are lies. The truth of our identity is one that we discover in baptism. This ritual washing of water with the name of the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, spoken over us. A washing that links us irrevocably with Jesus, God's expression of love for us. And the identity we discover is that we are God's beloved child with whom God is well pleased. The Reverend Dr. David Lowe puts it this way: baptism grants us an unassailable identity. Whereas so much else in our life describes us, our occupation, our race and ethnicity, our gender and sexuality, our life experiences, both good and bad, our passions and interests and commitments, they describe us. Our status as God's beloved children defines us. It's not that those other things don't matter, they do, but it's that none of these things is as important as our identity as God's beloved child. Put another way, those other things define the uniqueness of who we are and are created to be, but our core identity for each and every one of us is God's beloved child in whom God is well pleased. We are named as gifted with unique skills and talents. We bear the name created in the image of God. Each and every one of us. And when we root ourselves in that identity, build the uniqueness of our lives from that starting point, we will find life fuller and more abundant than if we cast about on our own. But other things come into our world and seek to define our identity. David Lowe is right. All those other things are important in describing us. But the minute that we make our occupation, our gender, our passion, interest, experience, the minute we make those things our identity, we lose sight of the great truth God shows us in baptism. When other things become more important, when we identify politically as Trump's or Biden's, Republican or Democrat, when we divide ourselves into camps of us and them, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We cover over the truth of who we are and whose we are, and in doing so dishonor the one who so loved the world and all who reside in it that he was willing to die so that we might live. We dishonor Jesus Christ when we do that. We have a challenge today, my friends, in our nation and in our church, and the challenge is one of identity. Our own and that of those who live with us in this nation, this world, and who are part of the body of Christ, that is the church. Do we understand our identity as child of God, claimed by God through the waters of baptism, and by those waters freed from the oppression of sin, death, and all the forces that seek to defy God? If so, then we are committed to seeing everyone else as created in the image of God and deserving of love and respect for that alone, as worthy of being listened to, cared about, attended to. If so, we are committed to keeping the eighth commandment and seeing what others do in the best possible light. We are committed to seeing others as God's beloved children too, even when we don't want to, even when we feel they don't deserve it, even when they are different from us in those ways that describe who they are, but do not define who they are. Even when they, or we, screw things up royally. Do and say and believe things that we find incomprehensible. We're at a moment in history where a key question for citizens of this country is, can you differ with another person on important issues and still see this person as someone who is striving for the best for our nation? And for Christians, the calling is an even greater task. Can you see someone who differs from you on important issues as a fellow child of God, beloved of God? How we answer those questions, both as individuals but also corporately, will determine the course of our country and the church for decades to come. It is a daunting and difficult task, made even more so by sin, death, and all those forces that defy God, by the tribalism we see so present in our scriptures. If you've been reading through the Bible with me, we've encountered some of that in our texts so far. A tribalism that gets expressed in so many ways in our world. Racism, classism, sexism, bigotry of all kinds, but which ultimately denies the divine image in another, which ultimately calls God a liar. These forces are the ones that caused the rupture of our relationship with God in the first place. Go back and reread Genesis 1 through 3. Forces that lead not to a recognition of shared community, but to a destruction of that community. Now, I've seen people of deep faith struggle with this because of their lived experiences with others. Struggle not so much whether to see others as fellow Americans or child of God, but whether to be in relationship with them at all. And I get it. But I am convinced that it is our sinfulness that leads us down that path. That the enemy, the forces that defy God, delight in this rupture in relationship. For then it becomes easier to do their work of papering over our core identity and calling as beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased. I'm a student of history. And you can see the result of this rupturing of relationships within societies and between individuals over time. The pogroms against Jews that periodically swept medieval Europe. Those same stereotypes and lack of relationship that then led to the Holocaust and the death of millions of Jews in World War II. The balkanization of identity that led to the Civil War here in the United States. The warping of the Reformation that led a fractured church to delight in persecuting one another. There's much prayer and conversation, confession and forgiveness to do. As we cling to our baptismal identity and seek to see that in others, and we will fall short of God's desire for us. We will. We'll fall short in how we treat one another, how we regard one another, because sin clings to us despite this baptism, the symptoms lasting long after we are claimed. But we have the most powerful medicine in the world. The love of God come to us in Jesus Christ. We have the best balm in the universe in these waters of baptism. Waters that cool our passions. That wash away all that blinds our sight. To remind us of our identity as God's beloved children with whom God is well pleased. We have our vocation, through that identity to love others as God has loved us. We have the meal of Christ's own body and blood given and shed for you, for each and every one of you, even those who we don't think deserves it. And in this meal and in these waters, we receive grace upon grace and the strength to try again, to try and love one another in deed and in truth, to live out our identity as beloved children of God, with whom God is well pleased. My friends, this is who you are. This is your identity. The one identity that means anything. And so I invite you to repeat after me. I am a baptized, beloved child of God. With whom God is well pleased. Let's do that again. I am a baptized, beloved child of God. With whom God is well pleased. One more time for that Trinitarian. I am a baptized, beloved child of God. With whom God is well pleased. In this new year of 2023, may it be so. Amen.